shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you've joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in.
I can't even believe we're getting to do this. This feels like a dream come
true. How long have we talked
about
it?
Years.
I know.
Well, and you have to say that y'all are... What do you say? God-related? I don't even know how to explain.
Yeah.
Yes.
These two, I'm going to cry. I knew this was going to happen. These two people in this room are some of our dearest friends and godparents to my children. Mm-hmm. And it is such an honor to get to be in the room with you all and have this conversation.
Same for us. So
likewise.
Grateful.
And also, I have to add, Connie and I's only success story in matchmaking in the history
that.
Of our lives.
I forgot that, y'all. That's amazing.
Yeah. If you introduce the two of them, you just retire after that.
That
like, we're like,
true.
We don't want to attempt anymore. This is the gold standard.
I think it means you're stuck with us.
You know,
this and God relationship and this introduction. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to be stuck with y'all too.
Thank you for being with us, you two.
I know.
Yeah.
We're glad to be here.
Thankful.
This is really fun.
I really can think of very few people who I would want to have a conversation more with in this space. Mm-hmm. Because I just trust your, I mean, we both obviously trust your voices, your wisdom, your thoughtfulness. Mm-hmm. Really just so excited to get to share you with our people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as we're talking about teenagers.
And young adults.
And young adults. Which we should just say, I mean, you can say you get more time with them than I do, but your children are amazing.
Oh,
well. I could not love and enjoy and respect the two of them more.
Well, we like them too.
Remarkable human beings.
Yeah, remarkable.
We like them a lot.
Yes.
And we're thankful for Daystar because y'all have been a big part of their life.
Wow.
And they still are.
And they love Daystar, both of them equally. So that's just,
dear.
That's a gift.
They're dear.
Yeah.
Well, let's start there. Will y'all start us off by telling us a little bit about your family and the work you each do?
Sure. We're a family of four. We have a daughter, Caroline, who is 20 years old, goes to Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee. Our son is 16, almost said 15, just turned 16, driving 16. On his own. And he's a sophomore in high school.
And he is my nephew, Henry Weber's hero.
Aww.
I mean,
he loves him.
Hero.
I don't know a boy that age who would not fall in love with Wilder Allen, really.
Yes. Well, Caroline, too. I mean,
Yeah.
And for work, I work for a nonprofit called the Nashville Fellows, and it's a leadership formation program in the Christian tradition for recent college graduates. Get to bring 12 amazing young adults to Nashville every year, and just a real privilege to walk with them for 9 months here. While they serve and work and launch their adult lives.
And we both have gotten to be a part of what you're doing, and it's remarkable.
It's extraordinary.
It really is so, so neat to watch. Yes. Yeah.
And as you know, I am a psychotherapist and spiritual director, and my office is right around the corner, which is really fun from here. And
you started.
I have to mention, I was going to say, and I used to work at Daystar.
Yes.
Yay! Back a long time ago, like 20 plus maybe years.
Really?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, Kendra, that's crazy.
Like 20 years ago. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Diamond Exchange building.
Yes. Ooh, that was bad. Will you say what spiritual direction is for anybody who's listening and thinks, what does that mean?
Okay, that's a great question. So, you know, in therapy, you're really talking, like you're using the relationship between the therapist and the client as part of the vehicle for the therapy. Mm. And really the main difference in, I mean, there's lots of differences, but one of the main differences is in spiritual direction. The spiritual director or companion, which I like to call it, because we are not directing anything. It is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so my role as the spiritual director is really just to be a good listener to the directee. And also what do we are listening together to what God is doing. What is God? What are the movements? What are they noticing in their life? And what do those things mean to their relationship with God? And maybe any steps they might be wanting to take, like discernment is a process a lot of people use spiritual direction for. Mm. But really it's just deepening their relationship with God by tuning into Him in a very still and quiet space. And I hope as a director, you know, I'm just holding that space with them to hear Him. Yeah.
And you are incredibly gifted in both those roles.
Yes.
And in those spaces.
Well, thanks.
And as you all share about the work you do, we realize this is the first time we've ever had two trained therapists talk about the journey of parenting. And so we'd love to just ask that, like, what are the strengths and struggles of being therapists in parenting?
Well, I'll just start by saying, I thought, what, maybe I should ask one of my kids. So Caroline, I can read this. She texted me back.
Yes,
she texted me back. I immediately thought, okay. I mean, I have my thoughts, but I'll tell you what she said. I'll just verbatim say what she said. She was happy to answer the question, by the way. She said, so excited. Some strengths are that it has made me more emotionally mature, conscious, and empathetic. Y'all are both wonderful, validating listeners, and incredibly wise. That helps a ton. Some struggles are that sometimes I don't want to be therapized. I just want to complain to my mom about something without it having to turn into a larger, deeper conversation. But only sometimes. And I would just add, you know, to that yes, being intentional people and doing the work that we do, we almost like know too much, you know? Mm. And so we bring that home and we do maybe overdo things, you know, as far as talking about things or feelings or, you know, we get a lot of eye rolls about the questions we ask and what we want to know about. And they just want to keep things up here, you know, because they're kids and we're serious people. We were kind of saying we're kind of serious people.
I feel like our invitation this season has been play, you know, just to kind of think less and feel sometimes less deeply and let them lead and just have some, you know, you all have talked about this for years, how it's just important to have downtime where you're just playing together. And especially with my son, Wilder, that's his best, you know, our best conversations are when we're in the car, when helping, you know, when he didn't have his own driver's license, he was still driving with me. That was great just to sit next to each other and guide a little bit, but listen a lot.
Yeah.
We do love kind of below the surface, I think is that's one thing that, and we think about things in the way we want things to be. And sometimes that's, we do that too much.
We're both idealists. Yeah. And so we're kind of always looking for how things can be improved or better or deeper or healthier or whatever. Mm. And so I think our kids get a little tired of that and just want to relax and just
be
let it
be in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, I was thinking, even Caroline answering the question to say what's good and what's hard is only because you all have laid this foundation of a safe place with your kids. Because there are a lot of kids who never would feel like, other than screaming at their parents when they're mad, saying you do everything wrong, really genuinely say, hey, here's a place of struggle. It just says so much about the two of you.
Yeah.
Beyond being therapists, just who you are as people.
Yeah.
I'm glad they know that, like, when you're struggling, that you, the getting help is, we've, I mean, we just live that. And so they know it's normal. It's normal to get help. It, hopefully it's normal for them to go to therapy. You know, we joke about saving the account. We have the account for the therapy account, you know. We want them to go, you know, we want them to be seeking counsel and therapy for whenever they need it. And I do think that's one thing that, that's an advantage of having your parents be trained.
It's a priority
therapists.
For us.
Yeah. So.
David, I remember you set a goal to exercise more this year. How are you doing with that?
Great. I am exercising more. That's why I'm struggling to walk and stand up most days. I'm so sore.
Well, as we say to parents, practice makes progress. So it looks like you just need to keep practicing.
Yes, I do. And I remember you set a goal to be more hydrated this year. How's that going?
Great. Thanks to Element.
I love Element. I have the sample pack in my bag right now. What flavors do you love?
I am loving watermelon salt and raspberry salt.
When my shipment came in the mail, the slogan on the side of the box was, "Stay salty." Connie said to me, "You are always a little salty."
I'm not sure that was a compliment.
I am sure it was not.
It is so important to replenish electrolytes, especially for us when traveling.
Did you know Element has a free gift with purchase offer? You can claim a free Element sample pack when you make any purchase through our link.
The Element sample pack includes one packet of every flavor. This is the perfect offer for anyone who is interested in trying all of the flavors or wants to introduce a friend to Element.
And they offer a no questions asked refund on all orders. You don't even have to send it back.
Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything you need and nothing you don't. That means lots of salt with no sugar.
None of the junk. No sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, no gluten, no fillers.
Element is formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs and is perfectly suited to folks following a keto, low carb, or paleo diet.
Element can help prevent and eliminate headaches, muscle cramps, fatigue, sleeplessness. I have had all those in the past week, and other common symptoms of electrolyte deficiency.
David, that's because when you sweat, the primary electrolyte lost is sodium. Athletes can lose up to 7 grams per day. When sodium is not replaced, it's common to experience muscle cramps and fatigue.
Thank you for assuming that I'm sweating like an athlete when the truth is that I'm just hot all the time.
Element is used by everyone from podcast hosts like us to NBA, NFL, and NHL players, Olympic athletes to everyday moms and dads and exercise enthusiasts.
Right now, Element is offering a free sample pack with any purchase. The Element sample pack includes one packet of every flavor. This is the perfect offer for anyone interested in trying all the flavors or who wants to introduce a friend to Element.
Get yours at drinklmnt.com/RBG. This deal is only available through our link. You must go to drinklmnt.com/RBG. Element offers no questions asked refunds.
Try it totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend and they will give your money back, no questions asked. You have nothing to lose. Sissy, guess what I've been working on?
Our next book?
I should be working on that, but guess again.
Uh-oh, I know what time of year it is. Taxes.
Yes, taxes. I would rather eat raw squid on a saltine cracker than do my taxes.
I am with you.
And I had to meet with our financial planner, which isn't much better, but it did get me thinking more about the future.
One of our great sponsors helps us think more wisely about the future. The things we build our future around are the things worth protecting. I'm talking about trust and will.
Making an estate plan now means gaining security of your assets and peace of mind for you and your loved ones.
With Trust and Will, you can create and manage a custom estate plan starting at just $159.
The website is so simple to use. The process is straightforward and user-friendly.
Each will or trust is state-specific and customized to your needs.
Ensure your family and loved ones avoid lengthy, expensive legal proceedings or the state deciding what happens to your assets.
Trust and Will has made estate planning accessible and affordable. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish with ease.
Live customer support is available through phone, chat, and email.
Get the peace of mind you deserve by creating your estate plan with Trust and Will, used by hundreds of thousands of families and counting.
Secure your assets and protect your loved ones with Trust and Will. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by visiting trustandwill.com/RBG.
That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/RBG. Okay, I feel like we got a lot of big questions for you all.
Yeah.
We would be so honored, knowing that part of your journey is through infertility and loss, if y'all would talk a little bit about that part of your story.
We were, I guess, older parents, maybe a little bit older than average, you know, maybe 34, 35. And so we did have trouble conceiving, but then not as much as a lot of couples do. So I think that we're thankful that that was kind of the least of our worries. And then with our first pregnancy, we pretty soon into it, I got really sick and was diagnosed with something called hyperemesis gravidarum, which is basically 24/7 nausea. And it requires hospitalization because you get dehydrated and, you know, you pretty much just feel miserable all the time. It's not your typical morning sickness. Mm. And it's pretty rare. It's like 2% of pregnancies last time I checked. I mean, that may be different now.
In part, it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, really debilitating. Mm-hmm.
And they treat it with whatever they can. And so by mid-pregnancy, by the middle of the pregnancy, I was back at work, actually. I was working at Daystar at the time. And I was able to, you know, see clients and everything if I just took all the right medicine. And then as soon as you have the baby, you feel fine. It's really just like an allergic reaction to pregnancy, kind of. Mm. Mysterious. I don't know, you know, everything about it. Doesn't get a lot of research. But Caroline, very healthy, fine. You know, it doesn't affect the baby. It's the baby gets everything they need from the mom, and it's the mom who suffers, you know. Mm. So of course we wanted to grow our family and give Caroline a sibling. And so we thought, okay, we can do this. We kind of gear ourselves up for another round. Cause who knows what would happen. And right. So the second pregnancy, was a more severe case of hyperemesis, unfortunately, and, just started earlier and was just a very severe, really low percentage of pregnancies have it as severe as I did. And so a lot of hospitalizations and a lot of different, more interventions that were just more ratcheted up, you know, from the first pregnancy. And it was a really, really hard time. That was really hard.
We also happened to be building a house, living with a friend, just lots going on, surrounded by community.
Yeah.
And church and friends.
And had a lots. 2.5
yeah,
year old.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
3 year old. Yeah. So 20 week ultrasound, went to that appointment and discovered there was no heartbeat. Mm. So really just completely, you know, rug pulled out from under us. It was a surprise because that's not a typical risk of hyperemesis. It's not loss. And so it wasn't like that was something that they were concerned about. That was a mystery. There was a mystery around that because we just thought, I will be miserable, but the baby will be fine.
Right.
And so it was like this, yeah, really shocking. So I was given the option to, well, long story short, I was able to, that we were Induced. I was induced, and our son John Wilson was born as a stillborn, and it was a really, really difficult time. And our community had been helping us and supporting us around the pregnancy because we really needed that. I mean, I couldn't do anything for my family, and so it felt like it was a community experience before we even had the loss. And so our priest at the time said, I think it would be important to have a service.
I think another aspect of the grief was realizing that you could not do this again.
Yeah. Yeah. This was it.
And it felt like the end of a just really final. And that was hard. So hard. I remember I'm a more of a private person than Kendra is. And when I, in times of grief, I'd often bring a few close friends, but this was so different. I remember really feeling like, I don't know if the Holy Spirit or what, but I needed my whole community there. Mm-hmm. I wanted everybody. And I was so grateful that we had an opportunity to have a service. And then it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We were part of a tradition that has liturgy that it was really, I did not grow up in a tradition like that. And so it's been, I came to St. B's, not exactly open, but it's been a beautiful journey for the last 20 years, but was really grateful that the rhythms of church just kind of carry you when you can't, mm-hmm. when you can't walk, and our community just carried us. Mm. Rich but hard season. We also learned that so many people had stillborn children or were dealing with infertility
miscarriage.
Or dealing with loss, and then they had never been in a, they never had the opportunity to have acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And so that was mm-hmm. very powerful
yes.
after the service for people to come up to us and say, thank you. This, I needed mm-hmm. to be here. I'm glad to be here with you. Yeah. This was just as much for me as mm-hmm. it was for John Wilson.
Yeah.
And us.
Well, I don't know if y'all remember, mm. my mom had eight miscarriages before and after between Kathleen and me. And when that happened and y'all had that service, my mom, who knew y'all, knew you especially from Daystar, but not super well, said, I'd like to go with you. And I was so shocked. I mean, my mom was so private and never talked about mm-hmm. anything. And mm-hmm. and sitting there, I mean, I will never forget waiting mm-hmm. for the service to mm-hmm. start. And she mm-hmm. said, I wish I'd done this. Mm-hmm. I just, mm-hmm. I'll never forget it. And I'm so grateful that you did it, that you invited us to be a part of it as people who love you. I mean, it just...
Yeah,
heartbreaking and a gift to be in it with you and understand more of how we could love you mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. showing up for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Well, I think, and my hope is even talking about it today, it paves the way for people to say, honor the loss.
Right,
it's such a significant loss. Important. And it's not
just for
honored.
You.
Right.
It could be for your community.
Yeah. Yes. It's a private, it's like people suffer in private mostly because it is for some reason, just not something that people are, they haven't told everyone maybe, but you know, a lot of miscarriages are just, it is an unseen, it's an unseen death, you know, it's an unseen loss and grief. And so we were, I mean, because we actually gave birth to our baby, it made it more real. And so there was a gift in that, I guess, and just, I don't know, having that acknowledged. Mm. Yeah. So
thank you for being willing to tell that story. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Kendra, you have counseled countless folks who've walked that road of infertility. And what would you want to say to the many parents who have or are living this story right now?
Well, like we were kind of just saying, I think it's first of all, acknowledge that it's a loss, you know, no matter how private it has been or how many people know about it, but know that it's a grief that you need to feel and you need to walk through. You know, and I think you compare yourself to other people, you look around and you think no one else is going through this. I feel so alone. I feel like I'm the only one who's ever, you know, and that's not true. And so when you share, if you can invite people into that place and share it, you will discover that everyone struggles with something. And this may be a struggle that other people have had too. And I think community friendships, inviting people into that space is really essential. Praying and entering into some discernment about, you know, are there other ways to build a family? I mean, if it's trouble getting pregnant, maybe you adopt, you know, maybe that's something you're open to. Maybe you just need to enter into some discernment about that, because there are different, more creative ways that you might not think of in the moment. You might think, this is the way I need to do it. My dream has been to.
Yes.
So after we lost John Wilson and we were in those dark days of grieving.
And how old was Caroline at the time?
She was three.
Three. Mm-hmm.
She had just turned three. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were in, like I said, just kind of withdrawing from everything, and as you do. And I heard a whisper, and I don't normally hear God in that way. I mean, that's not a very typical experience for me, but I really did. A still small voice, you know, came to me and said, surrogacy. I mean, that was it. And I was just like, I don't know anyone that's ever done that. I don't know exactly what that means. So I started doing some research, found out a lot more about it. It's called actually a gestational surrogate. That's just what, how the route that we took. And it's quite a miracle. So we just kept going through this process. Like, it would be, it's an outlandish thing to do. It's not, again, like, it's not something that a lot of people do. So we collected our information and prayed a lot about it. And some different things happened, but a friend of mine said, you just need a womb. You just need a womb. That's the only thing that's kind of, quote, wrong. You know, that's broken. That's the only thing really broken, is that carrying a baby for you is what's hard. So that gave us, I don't know, just that, okay, a womb. So we know a lot of people with wombs. but you don't just go ask somebody, can you do this for me? Right? You know, I mean,
sure.
A lot of people hire someone. I think that's one way to do it, you know. I don't know that we didn't have to get that far. That was not something that, I don't know if we would have done or not, but it was a dream and we were open to it and we were just looking for God's direction and guidance. And what happened was a good friend of ours that you all know. Have you had them on the podcast?
No, but we've talked about it. Yeah.
Okay. So, our lovely, gracious, generous, amazing friend, Nita Andrews, said, well, I could do this. And she knew it had been something we were praying about and did not cross my mind to even, she was not someone on my mind as somebody who would have, you know, necessarily been the ideal candidate on paper. Mm-hmm. But because she was older than me and, you know, we were already kind of older parents. But anyway, so Al and Nita are just very special people. We will forever be, you know, indebted to them for the gift of our son, Wilder. Yeah. And it was quite an adventure. It was quite a journey and, you know, probably more fun for us than it was for Nita. But she did great. And that story was just a friend laying down a life for, you know, for another friend. That's what she did. She sacrificed a lot, laid down her life for us to have a family, to build a family. So it was, we say, the way Wilder got his name was that he, this whole story, and he is wilder than our wildest dreams, and that God was so wild, you know, to do this. And so.
So extravagantly.
Yeah.
Gracious to us.
So that's how he got his name.
I did not know that. Oh, thank you for sharing that with us. And
thanks for asking.
Thanks for, I mean, I know you were heavily involved in that, and I'm just grateful that both of us got to bear witness to you allowing God to, I mean, I know the side of heaven loss isn't fully redeemed, but the redemptive touches in the midst
of that.
We saw that
everywhere.
Bear witness to it.
And we could never have written that in the story. That was not a twist that we would have imagined ever. You know, that wasn't something that was on our radar, you know.
One way we have tried to be as a family is to really think intentionally about not being thoughtful, but not shoving doors open. You know, so that whole discernment mm-hmm. process was very much seeking and knocking, but we didn't feel called to go the route of the kind of the marketplace route. It just didn't feel like the way we wanted to go about that. So just praying, and Nita approached you. You did not mention that to her.
Yeah, and it's wild.
To have that door open, and then to have her clear all the health checks that they said she would be a great surrogate and that deliver Wilder. They had two middle school boys at the time. You know, I love the stories where they'd be on the soccer field and people would ask her like, oh, you're having another kid. Oh, it's not mine.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's been fun to see Hunter and Brent, you know, embrace what their mom did and what their parents, both of them, sacrificed. And love Wilder, and we just have a special bond, obviously a special bond with them, with all four of those Andrews.
We know two other families that have walked the journey of Nita's portion of it. And it is amazing what it has done in their children through the process of going to those lengths to give to somebody else.
Yeah.
I just think it's such a powerful thing for kids to witness.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks
like. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, y'all, in this season of our podcast, we're talking about ages and stages of development. Yeah. And you are in two stages with a 16-year-old and a young adult. So what would y'all say you have learned about adolescence in the throes of it and moving through it?
One thing I have appreciated about adolescence and young adulthood is that they're difficult seasons, but they don't last. They don't. You know, you can be hopeful because the next month will be different. You can just kind of guarantee it will be different. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's harder, but there's such rich times along the way, and just be patient because things are changing.
Yeah.
Things are changing. And there's so much happening. I mean, when Caroline will leave and then come home, you know, a month later, and we're like, who is this young woman? And she's just learned so much while she's away in Wilder as well. Just every week is an adventure. Part of it, he's growing taller and taller, but not just physically.
I would add that, it's really helpful to know the Enneagram for us as a married couple, but also as parents. And I know we're not supposed to type our kids, and I'm not even going to go into all that, but we certainly can make some guesses on their behavior. And one thing that we've learned that's been kind of a surprise is that John and I both are much more open mindset, like a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. That's us. Mm-hmm. Our adolescents are fixed mindset. And so kind of that idea of the fixed versus the growth, along with the Enneagram personality, just knowing all of that, it's been really helpful. And we kind of even joke around because I'm always getting the kids to think of your options. Let's be, what could happen? What are some possibilities?
Let's imagine.
And they, I don't know if it's just in response to us, but is very much like, nope.
Joy of closure.
Versus the
closure.
Joy of possibility.
John and I are
both more joy of possibility. Yeah.
That's so good.
And the kids are more joy of closure.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Yeah. Developmentally, I think that might be an adolescent thing as well. Mm-hmm. So. Mm.
I love that. The joy of closure versus the joy of possibility.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Then, and that's in the Myers-Briggs terms, really. It's like the J and the P. Mm-hmm. The J is the joy of closure and the P is the joy of possibility.
Some folks just feel more comfortable after a decision's made. They're just good. And then some folks have a harder time landing because we want all the possibilities.
And you're both that.
We're both the joy of possibility.
And so our kids, so I don't know. Yeah, I think that's what I've learned is just, okay, let them, they'll figure this out.
Yeah.
They might want to be closed right now.
And honoring their voice.
Yeah.
We're working hard on that.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Can I ask about Wilder Ceremony?
Sure.
Would you be open to talking about that?
Yes. We've never
talked about that on the podcast, and I love it so much.
Yeah.
Okay. So thinking about this
season of adolescence, and everyone experiencing what Sissy and I have long known to be true about these two folks and how incredibly intentional they are as parents. I want to ask you if you would talk about the way you ushered in and acknowledged your son's adolescence. Yeah, and I got the great privilege of being a part of this and sitting front row and watching it happen. Would you talk about that?
Love to. Really borrowing from you and Al Andrews and other men that I respect so much and kind of pulling all that together. We decided to, and Kendra was involved in this plan, but we wanted at 13, I think it was 13, mm-hmm. we have a family farm an hour outside of Nashville, and it's a beautiful space. My parents live there, and really sacred space for us. Just, it's been in our family for a long time. It's a place we go to celebrate and grieve and all the things. Mm-hmm. So we wanted this to happen there, and I invited six people that I wanted, that Wilder had a relationship with, and I wanted them to speak into his life. And so we ask everyone to think about a gift, a small gift, a symbolic gift of something that they wanted him to have for the journey ahead, knowing that this, you know, from 13 onward was a critical time, so much growth, and I wanted them to share some wisdom about that. And so we actually stationed folks throughout the farm. We did it at dusk, and everybody got a lantern, a kerosene lantern, and they were waiting. So I started the journey with Wilder walking, and we went and found these men along the way. Mm. The light grew bigger and bigger with each additional lantern. And so you had a bit of time between the stations, and that's when my friends, Wilder's friends, would kind of pour into, this is what I'm giving you and why. And that by the end, you know, we're a group surrounding him of these older men coming back to a feast that Kendra and my mom had prepared, steak dinner and time around the fire, and just celebrating, sharing with each other all the gifts that we had brought, because it's encouraging. I remember when I was invited to Hunter's celebration, Al's son, I was so moved just realizing how much I needed these words. I needed this. We all need this encouragement and reminders. So it was, again, it was kind of, it was for Wilder, but it was for all of us. And that's what made it so, so powerful.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
David, I know you love to snack, but I have lost count with how many bars you've had today.
I do love to snack morning, noon, and night, and I've been doing more than ever since Mosh started sponsoring our podcast. But here's the thing. Mosh bars are not only good for you, they are doing good in the world.
Tell me more.
The old adage, you are what you eat, rings very true to all of us in the modern day, and I'm always looking for an on-the-go protein snack that satisfies me. But now I found one that helps me live intentionally too, Mosh Bars.
I love their mission. Mosh is a company founded by Maria Shriver and her son, Patrick Schwarzenegger, with a simple mission: to create a conversation about brain health through food, education, and research. Maria's father suffered from Alzheimer's, and since then, she and Patrick have dedicated themselves to finding ways to help other families dealing with this debilitating disease.
Mosh joined forces with the world's top scientists and functional nutritionists to go beyond your average protein bar. With 6 delicious flavors, each Mosh bar has 12 grams of protein and is made with ingredients that support brain health, like ashwagandha, lion's mane, collagen, and omega-3s. Can you say ashwagandha 3 times as fast as you can?
I cannot and I won't. But here's the best part about Mosh to make you feel good. Mosh donates a portion of all proceeds from your order to fund gender-based brain health research through the Women's Alzheimer Movement. Why gender-based? 2/3 of all Alzheimer patients are women. Mosh is working closely to close the gap between women and men's health research.
I need to mention they also have a line of plant-based protein bars in 3 delicious flavors. I love the banana bread.
If you want to find ways to give back to others and fuel your body and brain, Mosh bars are the perfect choice for you. Head to moshlife.com/RBG to save 20% off plus free shipping on either the bestsellers trial pack or the new plant-based trial pack.
That's 20% off plus free shipping on either the bestsellers or plant-based trial pack at moshlife.com/RBG.
Thank you, Mosh, for sponsoring this episode.
Sissy, you just hosted another bunking party at your house this weekend, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Now, for folks listening who live outside the state of Arkansas, explain what a bunking party is.
Well, when I was growing up in Arkansas, we didn't call them sleepovers. We called them bunking parties because that's what you're doing. You're bunking. And I have to say, it's much cuter sounding than a sleepover.
It is.
I had both boys this weekend, and now that I have Patches, it's like hosting a litter of puppies at my house for 2 days.
I 100% believe that.
We have all these routines we do when the boys come to my house, and one of my favorites is a KiwiCo build.
We love KiwiCo.
Yes, we do. KiwiCo is full of brain-building play for the littlest learners. Wit, the first thing he does when he comes in my house is he gets out one of his KiwiCo toys. He loves them so much. With 9 different subscription options for different ages and subjects, there's something for every kid.
KiwiCo delivers seriously fun learning for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities.
Each month, kids receive crates packed with engaging hands-on activities designed to introduce them to exciting science, technology, and art concepts. There's always something new for kids to discover, like engineering robots or learning about the science of ice cream.
I would love to know more about the science of ice cream.
Well, you could. Each crate is designed by real experts and tested by kids to ensure that every experience is age-appropriate, engaging, and seriously fun.
What did you make this weekend at the bunking party?
Wit made a push and go walker wagon and tried to put Patches in the wagon. She was not having it. However, Henry got the veterinarian starter kit for Christmas and he is trying out his vet skills on Patches.
I hope that vet kid leads to a great career because we could use a discount on vet bills, couldn't we?
Yes, we could. That was part of my motivation in giving him that gift. Crates come with everything needed for kids to build, including materials and instructions. There's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime.
Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code RBG.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code RBG. Thinking about all the intentionality in that and your son walking in the woods and finding all these people, just this discovery of all these people who love him and just want to invest in him, and then that we would end at this beautiful table that his mom and grandmother had prepared. Like, it just, I can still remember it today. And it feels like such a picture of who the two of you are, and what a beautiful way to celebrate just this new season that is, as we've all been discussing, complicated and layered and full of hurdles. And it just was a beautiful way to remind him, a visual reminder, like, you're surrounded in this time.
Like a blessing for the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great way to frame it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what would y'all say has been your favorite stage of parenting?
Mm. Yeah, it's hard. I'm so fascinated with all the stages, and there is so much joy in each of the stages. You know, discovering just who they are, their little individual personalities. It's been a delight. But I had to say, when I was thinking about this, and I really miss early childhood, particularly the moment of bedtime when we would read out loud together. So, you know, of course, I was the one who was reading first. But then when they started to learn how to read, and there was something about that moment that was very sacred, quiet, peaceful. It was at the end of the day, and you just might, like, they might ask some deeper questions. You just might see a little bit more of who they were becoming come out in that time. And it's intimate and sweet, and you're physically close. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have to say that would be one of my favorite stages.
Yeah. For me, I've really enjoyed the young adult stage, kind of where Caroline is, and just having deep conversations with her and shifting from, I'll always be your dad, but more, you know, just on the journey with her, listening to her wisdom, trying to ask good questions, But knowing that she has so much to offer, and I can't wait to discover all that she's thinking. And again, there's so much that happens, you know, during these months when young adults, one of my privileges that I love about my job is that I get to work with young adults, and they come to us, you know, in the fall. And by the time they leave in the spring, you know, just 9 months later, they are different people. And that's just been 9 months. But when you're 22, 23, 24, there's a lot happening. Those years are critical. And it's really important to be thoughtful about how you're spending your time, who you're spending your time with. Mm. Yeah.
I love that you are so aware of the shifts in her that quickly. I mean, that's an interesting thing over the years of being a, I don't know what you call it, supervisor to college kids in the summers. That has been a universal theme that is hard for them, is this sense of I come home months later and I'm different. And often people don't see, don't understand how different I am and how aware I've become, but I didn't even think about it till you said it, of how I think they want us to see that, to know that, and to acknowledge those differences in them. Celebrate the difference. Yes, yes. Such a great reminder. Yeah.
Okay. If that's been your favorite, what's been the most challenging?
Well, that was not hard for me to think of. I mean, first of all, parenting is hard, everybody. Mm. It is so hard. No one prepares you. I don't know. I just did not expect it to be so hard. We always say it's not for the faint of heart.
Okay. That reminds me. I remember a conversation with you. I came to see you after Caroline was born. And you were at home, and you saying to me, I didn't anticipate how hard this would be cognitively. I love to think and learn and be challenged. And I adore Caroline, and I love what I'm doing. And mentally, I'm kind of bored. Which I don't know if you want to say that out loud.
No, but I'm so glad you brought that up. Well, what a great memory.
Well, it just struck me so much. And I've thought about it when I watch so many folks have newborns. I just think it's hard. And in ways that I don't think people acknowledge. And then it's easy to feel guilty that no one's saying this out loud.
Yeah. No, I remember that feeling. It was very isolating. And yes, not stimulating. I went from having adult conversation all the time about people's growth and what the things that they were, you know, trying to work on and heal from. And then I went to, the very mundane.
Thinking about poop all the time.
It's very mundane. Are they eating?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. And I would have to add, we lived in Uganda for a year. John was doing some volunteer work with International Justice Mission, which was a really exciting adventure. We kind of call it a midlife crisis, but really
like to call it epiphany.
Yeah. A midlife epiphany.
Adopted that. Yeah.
Like that. And, as far as parenting goes, there we were living in a smaller town, not a place where there was any international school. So guess who had to be homeschooled? And guess who did the homeschooling? I had an 8-year-old third grader, Wilder, and then Caroline was 13 years old in eighth grade. And Wilder is a very loud, active, easily distractible child.
Loves to move.
And it was the hardest thing I have ever done. We were in a different culture. I did not have the resources that I would have in the States. We did not have the social support. There was no playground. There was no library. There was no, you know, and we were, we just had limited resources and a very active 8-year-old boy. And so a lot of meltdowns. Mainly me was the one melting down. I mean, I know that's a little, that may not apply to a lot of people, but I will just say that I have to answer that question honestly and say that was,
of course,
I learned a lot about myself and what I am good at and what I'm not good at and maybe what kids need and what they don't need. They were fine when we got home. I mean, they did not suffer anything for that year of being homeschooled by me academically, believe it or not. So were you going to say?
Was going to say another key piece of that made Uganda so rich for us was our community.
Yeah.
The expat community and the Ugandan friends that we made were so critical. It's you couldn't do life without a team of people around you. Water, power, transportation, food, you know, everything was kind of like day by day. Let's, how do we do this? And wow. it was together. So, wow.
But Wilder needs a lot of energy outlets and people. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't quite the same as what he would be able to get here. So, mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, mm-hmm. great community for us.
Yeah.
We had great community. Yeah.
For me, and what is the question's about what's the most challenging stage, yes. and why? Mm-hmm. You know, I think both of us can relate to this. I was a little bit proud that I was not a helicopter dad. Like I felt like you were great at that, kind of letting the kids fall and experience things, and you more so than I, but still we did a good job, I think, of keeping our distance. And that is not the case for me with the young adult. With like, I'm now is my season for being the helicopter dad. I want to, you know, I don't know. I want to just protect and too much. This is the time to let go. This is the time to release. So in some ways, that aspect. So it's also my favorite. And then there's this challenging aspect of it is really just letting Caroline and Wilder increasingly so, letting him fall or make a mistake or buy something that we think is crazy, but he is going to do it. He's got a job, but he's working, and this is the way it works, and he's got to figure it out. So, it's hard for me to
sit
on the sidelines.
That makes so much sense. It feels like there's such a correlation between the potential for hurt being more significant as they get older, right. and so to watch that.
The stakes are higher.
Yes, the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
Well, what would you all say, each of you, is some of your favorite parenting advice you've ever been given?
Mm-hmm. Mine, parenting's a team sport. You know, it really is. It's something that I think, especially as our kids get older, I've realized that having other voices in their lives, and they do not want to hear from us as much. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be thoughtful about who we're bringing around them and you know, letting them get time with folks like at Daystar, our church, youth group, so many spaces, working, a job, you know, being thoughtful. Wilder works at a great place around great people that really speak into his life. And I'm so grateful for that. And knowing that as time goes on, our voice is going to continue to get smaller. It's still important.
Sure.
But yet these other voices are really, really important. And their peers. I love, our kids are really fortunate to get to hang out. I keep talking about the fellows, but we get to have amazing 23-year-olds in our home every week pouring into Wilder, and he loves them, and they are very patient and kind with him. And it's just so good. It's good for all of us.
Well, I would add, let your children really know you and what you love, and really see you. And you're kind of talking about advice, and I got this idea really early on as a parent from this writer and anthropologist, Gina Bria, and she wrote a book called The Art of Family. Mm-hmm. And that really spoke to me, and I've carried it with me. So I'm calling that advice, you know, and I actually have a quote, if I can share it.
Love it.
That I really is a guiding idea for me. But she says, I want them to be creatures who love me, not only for what I did for them, but because of who I am. I did not want my children to love me because I had been an adequate mother, because I would never be one. I wanted my children to love me for the same reason I want my children themselves to be loved, because we are all irreducible, irreplaceable. It is our presence as a personality, not a role or a set of duties, that makes a family cohere beyond obligation. I want to be seen by my own children to make them want me my whole life. And I just felt like
That's
kind
beautiful,
of
beautiful, Kendra.
Oh, well,
I love that.
Thank you to Gina Bria.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, back to kind of what you were saying as far as that loneliness and isolation, that when you came over to my house, and you can look at it as boring, and you can look at it as I can't have adult conversation, or you can look at it as my kids are learning about the world through me, and they're learning who I am and what I love. Mm. It's more about the spirit of who I am, that I want them to know me, because we're made in the image of God, and I reflect that in a way that no one else does, and they reflect that in a way that no one else does, and so that's a gift that God gives us in each other. Mm. So beyond the role, I guess, of parent and child, I just think that's just a guiding, I don't know, just thought. Yes. I don't know how else to put that, but it's not really advice.
But I love it though.
It meant that's a lot beautiful. To me. And then I do have one little practical thing that's kind of, I love, and I say this over and over to parents.
It's been a guiding principle for us.
This is another guiding principle. Don't give yourself too much credit or too much blame as a parent.
That's so beautiful. Good.
We just can swing to either end and be like, look at how they did this so great, and pat yourself on the back, you know? And then the next thing you know is that, oh no, what have I done? I've done something really horrible. Yeah. They are their own people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we are imperfect, and we are doing the best we can. We are good enough, good enough parents. Mm. And we just don't need to be so hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And all folks listening understand everything we said about these two at the beginning of this episode, don't they?
That is the truth.
How rich. Mm. I was thinking, Kendra, when you were answering that question, you were talking about letting your kids learn about the world. I loved that phrase. And I think about all the ways I have watched the two of you do that, you know, letting them learn about loss early on, letting them learn about struggle now, letting them learn about other cultures when you travel to the other side of the globe, and giving and being of service. And even when you were telling the story a few minutes ago about Wilder at his job, like letting you learn a lot about the world through work. And I was thinking that 8-year-old boy who was active in love relationship, now through letting him learn and you all studying him, is living into those gifts in the most remarkable ways. If you go to the place where Wilder works, like no one could rake in more tips than Wilder Allen. Like all that energy, passion, engagement, relationship, like living into those strengths. Aww. And you all have done that with both your kids in the most extraordinary way, which is why I love them as human beings. I don't just love them as kids who mean so much to me, but I just love them as human beings. I would want to be friends with them if I didn't have that role in my life.
Thank you, David.
And they love you. And they love you too.
Too grateful.
Yeah.
So thank you all for agreeing to come and do this. We like to end with something food related.
Okay.
We move from the substantive to the silly. So we've got a 2-part question of queso or guac. And what's your favorite taco? Mm-hmm.
I love guacamole, guac. And I love breakfast tacos.
Oh.
And have a place in our neighborhood that I can walk to. So
I was going to say, do y'all go regularly together?
We do.
Love that place.
Yeah.
Okay, and I would say guac too. And I'm not trying to be disloyal to our neighborhood place, but I love the fish tacos at Baja Burrito.
They're so
great
good.
Great choice. Yes. Yep. We love them too.
Yeah.
Y'all, thank you.
Yeah.
This has been really
rich
fun.
Conversation. Thank you. It's been so fun for us.
What a privilege be with you guys and for us.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Did you love today's episode? If so, would you mind sharing it with a friend? Send a quick text or email with the link to the show.
Join us next time for another episode where we'll bring you help and hope on your journey of raising boys and girls.